Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm Craig Israel, joined by my co-host, Eric Krylo.
Hey, Craig. Before we get into anything, let's pay the bills. Let's get this commercial out of the way so we can talk the rest of the time.
Wait, have our commercial at the top of the hour instead of at the middle?
Yes, we are going crazy.
Wow, that is crazy. All right, so, Eric, I don't know if you're aware, but we just published our 2016 Trends book. Are you familiar?
I am familiar.
So for those that haven't had the good fortune to see our Trends book, this is a regular publication that we put out every year where we outline some of the top marketing trends that we're keeping our eye on for the next year. So this edition, you'll see some information about Flat Design 2.0.
The skinny jeans of the marketing industry.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but you're absolutely right. Email is sexy again. That's our centerfold.
Yes. That's why we put it there.
Right. Not to be missed. And a host of other topics. So this is stuff that we think is interesting, really, that we think is worth keeping your eye on as a marketer for 2016. It's an easy read. And best of all, it's free. Go to our website, trends.thundertech.com. You can download a digital version. All we ask for is your email address, and I assume we spam you after that. Is that what we do with the email address?
We don't say that, but maybe.
No, so we'll cut that part out. So you can download it for free, or if you want the actual physical edition, it's a beautiful hardcover gold foil book. Well, no, not really. It's a nice publication that I'm sure if you were to send us an email, we'd be happy to throw one in the mail for you, or just show up at our doorstep and meet some of the good folks at ThunderTech.
Yeah, I'll also be at Steve's Gyros this weekend handing them out.
All right, with that, let's get into the show. Today we are going to talk about a couple different things. We're here in January of 2016, so we thought this would be a good opportunity to look back at 2015. So we're going to start with the top 10 scandals, marketing scandals, or maybe just scandals of 2015, and the top 10 ads of 2015. And also, after we're done with that, we're going to talk about some brands to keep an eye on in 2016 that we think are going to be doing some interesting things. So, Eric, let's start with top 10 brand scandals of 2015.
We need some kind of like ominous music to come in. Anytime I hear the word scandal, it's just like dun-dun-dun.
Matt, can you make that happen in post-production?
All right. Thumbs up from the audio engineer.
So this comes from Inc. Magazine, and we don't need to go into detail about all of these because some are more interesting than others. Number 10 on their list of top 10 is Yum! Brands. I'm not really familiar with their scandal. They have KFC and Pizza Hut under the Yum! Brands.
I think they're serving tainted meat. I could have got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it was.
Tainted meat in China. You are right, Eric. I know that's terrible. You shouldn't serve tainted meat. But when I hear about this, it seems less like a scandal as something that happens, right? When you're producing meat at the volume that you need for, you know, US, let alone China, it seems like your quality controls aren't always there and something horrible like this happens.
Sure. And if this isn't an exercise in crisis communication, I don't know what is. And maybe that's my marketing mind. You know, I look at this scandal in particular and think, wow, you know, what an opportunity for a crisis communication agency to come in and sort of clean up after the fact. You know, recently we kind of saw that with Chipotle.
Yeah. But
it looked like they pretty much hit that head on. I wonder if Yum! Did the same thing.
So what I'd like to look deeper into this because I remember a scandal in China. This happened several years ago where there was tainted baby formula and there was a rash of infants died because of it. But the president of the company was convicted of crimes because they tried to cover it up and put to death, which I heard that on the news, and I couldn't believe it, because something like that would never happen domestically.
Could you imagine? I mean, there would be lines out prison doors for executives in the United States that either did shifty things or you know, just simply skirted around regulations and rules.
It makes you wonder if they would be a little less hesitant to engage in a scandal if they thought they might be murdered because of the results.
Wow.
So moving up, number nine scandal.
I don't know how we go from capital punishment to the next scandal, but
to the Germans, of course, Volkswagen. So a scandal about the emissions of their cars. There was some sort of computer chip that let the emissions read that they're actually within tolerable levels when they really weren't. VW really took it on the chin for this, that they've lost a lot of brand equity. I've seen a lot in the press about loyalist Volkswagen fans just fleeing the brand in droves. We'll see if it stays, right? It seems like people can be very fickle. What have you done for me lately? I know one result of this is that Volkswagen has changed their tagline. They've used Das Auto for a long time, which was a step down, quite frankly, from Farfenugen, I think.
That's a fair statement.
I was a big fan. But now Volkswagen's new tagline moving forward will be Volkswagen. I don't really understand the marketing play behind this, that they want to reinforce their brand, I guess. Taglines are usually there to help clarify the brand purpose or to otherwise help you engage with the brand in some way. But maybe given this crisis, they feel the need to pull way back and just state the brand. So when you think Volkswagen, think Volkswagen.
Well, it's interesting, though, because I wonder, too, how much of it is just them being simple. So when you go from the auto to Volkswagen, maybe they're just not progressive thinkers and they just move at that speed.
Could be. All right. Number eight, Turing Pharmaceuticals. So this, of course, is that douchebag that bought that drug and then jacked it up like 3,000%.
Right. And then he bought that Wu-Tang Clan album for like $2.5 million, like the unearthed, never heard, recorded Wu-Tang album.
So, sidebar, did you read that part of the contract that this guy signed, it said that the Wu-Tang Clan could steal back the album. I'm not making this up.
Right.
They could steal back the album if the raiding party was composed of members of the Wu-Tang Clan or Bill Murray.
That would be the only reason that I would agree to that, if it was worded just like that. You know, as long as the raiding party has either equal number of Wu-Tang Clan members or simply Bill Murray, that's good. I mean, I'm probably handing Bill Murray that CD if he comes to my house.
Man, yes, absolutely. So this whole thing blew up, of course, that a rival pharmaceutical company came out with an alternative to the drug that was much more competitively priced. And I saw that this guy was just indicted for tax fraud or something. So karma's a bitch. So this guy gets what he deserves. Number seven scandal, Nestle, you know, the makers of all our favorite chocolate. So I find this hard to believe that what the article says is some of the fish used in their fancy feast brand cat food came from slave ships where kidnapped workers were chained and beaten. I'm kind of shocked that a slave ship is a thing that exists in the world.
Right. And, you know, I don't know a lot about the fishing industry, but based on what I've seen of the deadliest catch, you know, the scariest thing you have to deal with is, you know, not showering or getting thrown overboard. I had no idea that there are fishing boats where there are shackles, chains, and beating.
It's kind of amazing. And then, again, this is one of the situations where it's undoubtedly Nestle buys fish from hundreds, if not thousands or tens of thousands of distributors. So it's not like they were specifically seeking out slave ships, to the best of my knowledge, right? I could be wrong. What makes this as a scandal, of course, is that they tried to cover it up after the fact.
So let me ask you this before we move on to the next one, Craig. Do you think that there's any degree of worseness, and I don't know if that's
worseness,
a word, but
sure,
I'll make it up. Is there any degree of worseness between what happened with Yum Brands, because it's called Yum Brands and it didn't necessarily call out the KFCs of the world, and Nestle, whereas Nestle is Nestle. Do you think that it's any worse because Yum isn't necessarily always associated with KFC, whereas Nestle's always going to be associated with Nestle?
Yeah, well, I would make the argument that what you're talking about in this scandal was Fancy Feast cat food brand. So it was a sub-brand of Nestle. And
that's true.
I don't think people connect most of Nestle's brands with Nestle because, of course, Nestle makes, in addition to, you know, pet foods, they have Stouffer's and Hot Pockets. And, of course, their chocolate, Willy Wonka, is a Nestle brand. So I suspect that that Nestle won't take much of a hit for this, right? This will blow over because they'll do everything they need to do in the press and say, we've put in safeguards to make sure this never happens again, et cetera, et cetera. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Number six, McDonald's. What is this scandal? It is the ongoing saga about paying a living wage to their workers, right? McDonald's has really gotten a lot of abuse about this. For whatever reason, they become the poster child of minimum wage, right? I don't think they're any more guilty than any other fast food chain or really any entry-level, right, low-skilled industry. But they've taken a lot of abuse this last year.
Yeah, and I'm sure that their employees are not loving it when it comes to their minimum wage.
I see what you did there. Number five, FIFA. This is another sports ball thing.
Yeah.
So
Sepp Blatter, am I right there? Is this the Sepp Blatter scandal?
Is that the referee thing?
It's supposed to be something different. FIFA, you guys are out here Scandal City in 2015.
Allegedly some, you know, referees were paid off, and since this is soccer, like most of America, I don't care that much.
Right.
Number four, the Duggars.
Oh.
Right? These are that horrible family, 19 kids and counting, on, I'm going to guess, the Learning Channel, right, or the History Channel. Or one of those channels that really isn't about learning or history.
I'm thinking learning, the Learning Channel.
So the scandal here is that one of their horrible children came out that he had molested one of their other horrible children as a young age. This is one of those scandals that I actively avoid horrible reality TV like this. I mean, I embrace a lot of horrible reality TV like Hoarders, Buried Alive. I could watch that all day long. I've been watching a lot of renovation shows lately.
Interesting.
Flip or Flop, that's a good one. Love It or List It, I'm a fan. But regardless, yeah, these terrible people have done terrible things.
Yeah, and when you turn your family into a brand, you run the risk of this type of thing happening. And I think that when you sort of build your reputation as TLC has done off of these shows, I think the Kate Goslin, that whole situation was on TLC. And when you turn families into brands, you run the risk of people being people. And unfortunately, some folks out there are not the model folks that we would hope to be, and these types of things come out. So
I think that's an excellent point that, you know, these guys, Kardashians, I mean, there's so many groups of people, that Real Housewives, right, that they somehow transform into real people being shown on television to this brand. Duck Dynasty, right?
Yeah.
They had the same problem where their patriarch said some horrible racist things, and then that blew up. Yes. Number three, Comcast. Unsurprisingly, any sort of telecommunications cable company, I assume that they're doing shady things constantly anyways. Number two.
So no specifics there for Comcast? We're going to...
Comcast. They rendered bad customer service.
Oh.
Confusing bundles, price switching.
So you mean every media outlet?
That's pretty much that. I think that's day-to-day activities.
Yeah.
Number two, talk about people as a brand. Bill Cosby.
Wow.
So I think this started before 2015, right? Allegations started coming in the last several years. And I can't recall a more beloved public figure that fell from grace than Bill Cosby. I mean, who doesn't love Bill Cosby, or who didn't love Bill Cosby, and who wasn't horrified to hear that he is a serial rapist? That's fairly horrible.
Yeah, and again, you spend your life sort of in the public view, and you create this sort of brand for yourself. And I mean, there were multiple spinoffs of The Cosby Show, and something like this comes out, and it just completely discredits all of what you've done, and really paints you in a terrible light. So, as far as Bill Cosby is concerned, if he did these things, then he has certainly had his comeuppings, if you will.
He is a horrible human being. Sorry, Bill. And the number one on this list, a bit of a letdown, honestly, from Bill Cosby, is Amazon. So Amazon's gotten a lot of negative press lately about how they don't treat their warehouse workers very well, and there's a horrible corporate culture of dog eat dog. No specifics called out in this article, other than to say that Amazon is not a nice company to work for in general, and to make it even worse, that when some of these things came to light, that Amazon shut down and didn't engage with the media, and it made the situation worse.
Yeah, and I'm sure with Amazon, as fast as they grew, some of these may be growing pains, but I think more of it's probably just cultural. How they are internally, and never really being able to sort of set that culture and grow it over time. They grew so fast, and certainly not making excuses for Amazon. But I think the sooner they get to drones and they get folks out of their warehouses, I think the better we're all going to be.
Indeed. All right, so top 10 scandals from 2015. So let's talk about something that's a little more fun. We'll talk about the top 10 commercials of 2015 as rated by Adweek magazine. We'll find a place to link all these articles that we've talked about so you guys can play along at home. Look in the below our YouTube channel, or we'll find some place. We'll email them to you individually. So before we get into this, a little bit of a criticism that these 10 ads that we're going to talk about, some I like very much, but some of them, they're not commercials, right? Let's be honest that marketers today are putting out these 3 or 4 minute short films that only exist on their YouTube channel or on their website, that they're not commercials as we think of them, as something that interrupts your favorite show for 30 seconds. I think the best of these, they put out these short films and then they cut them down to a 30 second spot so that you still get to experience the traditional commercial. But sometimes they cut them down and it doesn't make much sense unless you've seen the 3 minute short film. So maybe I'm a bit of a purist that if you're going to tell a really interesting narrative, I think you should be able to do it in 30 seconds, right?
Yeah, and I think that really is one of the things, at least, that separates good commercials from bad commercials, is can you fit in a solid commercial within 30 seconds? Can you get the job done in that short amount of time? Because as you and I both know, the audience doesn't have 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes to sit through something,
right,
especially something that they didn't ask for.
Right. And, on the flip side of that, I'll say that finding other avenues to engage with your customers, on YouTube or on your website where they may be willing to invest a little bit more time, and it's marginally less easy to fast forward through it, not a bad strategy. All right, get into this list. Number 10, this is one that you and I actually disagree with on, Eric. So Android's Friends Forever. So this is the spot where it's a seeming eternity of funny animals playing with each other that you might not expect, a horse and a turtle and a monkey and a dolphin. I don't know. I got bored 30 seconds into the spot and bailed.
Yeah, I mean, the monkey riding the giraffe was probably my favorite part.
That's not real.
But no,
did that really happen?
No, it didn't really happen. Where I stand with Android is, especially this commercial, is I really like the way that they don't throw product in your face. They don't try and force something. They take a concept such as this, which is essentially showing two animals that shouldn't be interacting with one another, but they're best friends, they're pals, they're hamming around. And then the soundtrack that goes to it is from the Robin Hood, the Disney Robin Hood movie.
It's cute. you know, I'll give you that. It's cute.
And I think it's just, in my opinion, I think it's a nice way to sort of get a message out there that keeps people happy. It doesn't take themselves too seriously. And I like the song.
I will say that I like their tagline very much, the be together, not the same. I think that's kind of a subtle jab at, iPhone. And it plays well with their brand. You know, I got to wonder if, you know, kind of calling back to a previous podcast that we talked about crowdsourcing, if they found these clips, a lot of them seem like the goofy animal clips you find on the internet. I wonder if they found a lot of these on the internet or, you know, solicited people and asked them for their favorite or whatnot.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know.
All right, moving on. Number 9, Nike, Shorta Guy. So this is a spot where we follow this young kid as he goes through his day, and he starts with a basketball game where some guys are like, hey, we're Shorta Guy, come run with us. And then it goes from basketball game to a foot race to swimming to soccer to lacrosse, I think, at some point. Interesting spot, right? It's got that that bird song, Surfing Bird.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is the soundtrack.
Right. I think Peter Griffin loves that song, correct? Yeah.
I might know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But, you know, with Nike, again, it's a good commercial. Nike always produces solid material. Always star-studded. I think Mike Trout's in this.
Yeah, Mia Hamm is in it.
Mia Hamm's in it. And it's one of those things that it's consistently good, and it shows the variety of Nike's sort of product line, but it doesn't say much to me, and it doesn't really get me off my seat.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is very well done. I think it supports their brand, right? And it talks about all the different sports and how you can engage with the sports. It seems to be a particular interest in apparel for this particular spot. So I think it hits all the right notes. But yeah, like you, it kind of falls flat for me. It doesn't really get me too excited.
Take that, Nike.
Yeah. So Nike, as we know that Nike are regular listeners to Thundercast, I'm sure they're firing off a strongly worded email right now. Now we get into some foreign spots. So this number 8 is, I'm not even going to try. It's Latorios e Acquiesta del Estada.
Justino. Which is English for what?
So it's a cute animated commercial. It's not in English, so we'll move on. Number 7, another foreign commercial out of Japan. It's for Shiseido Cosmetics. It's called High School Girl? So really interesting, unexpected spot. So if you watch it, spoilers, that it shows a classroom full of seemingly Japanese grade school girls that are actually grade school boys, and through hair and makeup, they transform them. I guess interesting spot from a cosmetic company. A little hesitant to criticize this one way or the other, I think.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, with it not being in English, it's difficult to understand the message. Visually, it's represented well. I think it's shot well, but there are certainly some aspects to it that I don't think would appeal to the American market the same way that it did over there.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Number 6, an organization called States United to Prevent Gun Violence. Spot's called Gun Store. So you might remember this spot where they set up a pop-up store in New York, a gun store, and they allegedly filmed random people as they wandered in, and they said, hey, you're here to buy a gun, let me show you these guns. And each gun had a tag on it that indicated how the gun was used in some horrible accident. You know, for instance, they said, here's a gun that a 5-year-old used to shoot her baby, you know, sister. So maybe effective, right? A little bit of a wake-up call, as it's meant to be, that, hey, you know, guns are used in violence. Let's think about the issue. Spots like this, I find it kind of heavy-handed, right? That I don't think anybody who is pro-guns will be motivated to change their opinion. And I think people who might be on the fence about the issue, I don't know if this would be the tipping point to make them act in one way or the other.
Right. It's certainly a different way to look at it. And like you had mentioned, it was more about the result of the gun, you know, rather than, this is how you use it, this is what it was used for. And I think it's good to show the results of gun violence and when you don't handle a gun appropriately or how you store it in your house, things like that. But again, I think the overall heavy-handedness, like you mentioned, I think it kind of outweighs all the other benefits.
I agree. And as a marketer, I think that commercials like this usually hurt their cause because people who are pro-guns, the NRA crowd, they're going to look at that and be infuriated and hunker down in their position even more so.
R.I.P. Charlton Heston? Captain Gun?
Yes. All right, number five, Atlantic Group, 37 Days. So this is a really interesting spot that you probably hadn't seen. I watch commercials like this, and it just makes me angry because of the money spent on this. Not because it's bad or it's not strong for the brand, but because I don't have access to such budgets. You know, in a nutshell, this company built a hot house in the farthest, coldest reaches of Canada to show how powerful these heaters were. Right? Am I getting that right? Yes. Yeah, a lot of money. Very beautifully shot. You know, gorgeous. I believe it. Right? Seems to be a strong commercial.
Yeah, I mean, visually, it was the most appealing, I thought. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to go to Canada. I'm afraid of the wilderness, and I'm afraid of bears, and I'm pretty sure that that's all that's up there. So something like this definitely doesn't appeal to me.
Not a camper?
No. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, Craig, but do you know the secret about camping?
No, what's the secret about camping?
You don't have to go.
Moving on. Number four, the Ad Council, Love Has No Labels. You most certainly have seen this spot before. They had a big screen in some public area that looked like an X-ray machine, and they had two skeletons parading behind it, hugging, kissing. And then when they come out from behind the screen, you see that it's a same-sex couple, or it's a family that has a Down syndrome child. You know, the overall message here is that underneath their skin, everybody is the same. You know, interesting. Engaging. You know, the Ad Council puts out ads like this that are really about, you know, public issues more so than, you know, brand focus. You know, it's not so much purchase this product, it's think about this social issue. So I think it's well done. I think it's a great example of getting a whole lot of mileage out of a public event. You put together, you know, I'm sure at great expense they put together this thing that was wherever it was for a couple hours, drew a big crowd, and then everybody dispersed, but then they continued the message through this series of commercials.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, you know, the Ad Council puts out things like this, and I look at these more as opportunities for brands to get ideas for their own commercials. You know, I think the concept of what you see may not be what you get. I think that's kind of a cool concept, and I hope that other brands and even marketing agencies look at the Ad Council commercials and sort of take those for more than just face value.
Number three, Comcast Xfinity, called Emily's Oz. As much as I hate Comcast and like companies, this was a really, really beautiful, engaging spot where they had a young blind girl describe what she thought the Wizard of Oz was like when she heard it, right? She obviously could never see it, so she described it, and then in the spot they illustrate what she's describing. Really, you know, beautiful, tugs at the heartstrings, well done. I don't know if it sways me as a consumer, but, you know, a great example of marketing that can be elevated to something that's really beautiful if you put the time and effort into
sure.
it.
Sure. You know, and as we learned from the Android video, puppies and blind kids are going to sell anything, so put them in there.
Now we get to the final two that I didn't necessarily agree with a lot of the picks on this list, and it illustrates how our industry, advertising, marketing, can be very subjective. Something that you think was the best spot you ever saw could fall flat in my mind. So where I didn't agree with a lot, these last two I think are spot on, and I thought they were fantastic spots. And number two, Snickers, Brady Bunch spot. You've probably seen this where you have the Brady parents, Tom and Monica, what are their names? That's not right.
No.
Fred and George.
Fred and Wilma, I think is what
Fred
it is.
Fred and Wilma, yes. You have the Brady Bunch parents, and then
Mike and Carol. Mike and Carol, that's what it was.
Absolutely. Marcia is played by Danny Trejo, the horrible, rugged-looking, action star. So, really funny spot. If you haven't seen it, go watch it immediately because it's well worth seeing. But it supports the campaign that Snickers has been using, that you're not yourself when you're hungry. It's really clever, right? Marcia, Danny Trejo eats at Snickers, turns back into Marcia. It's got a fun kicker at the end, Steve Buscemi in a role that'll surprise you. I thought this was spot on. I can't say enough about this.
Yeah, and I really liked that this was number two as well. Not only, to your point from earlier, that they're sticking with that campaign and they're really getting a lot of legs out of it, but the performances by both Trejo and Buscemi, I think, are second to none.
Yeah. All right, finally, number one, Geico, Unskippable. So this is a fantastic spot. This is a spot that if you haven't seen it, I really don't want to spoil it. You should go see it. But it's what I love about it is not only is it completely unique, it's interesting. I like it that Geico is trying something different, not just using the gecko again, that it also plays really well to the medium. The first time I saw this ad was as a pre-roll ad for a YouTube video. And it's one of these videos where you see it and the little box pops up, says you can skip this ad in 5, 4, 3. Geico, even though this is a 30-second long spot, they say literally everything they need to say in the first 4 seconds. And then even though there's nothing to hear except the dog in the spot, I watched the whole thing and I rewound it and watched it again.
Yeah, and for me, it's exactly what you said. And I think that the thing that sets this above the rest is it's a commercial that took the medium into account in a major way, and they understood how this was going to be seen and exactly the way you saw it. That's what they planned for, and I think that when you can do that, and not only can you have a successful spot, but you can do so playing off of the medium, I think that that's huge.
Yeah, this is the kind of advertising that makes me angry. Because it's so well done, I'm just so jealous that I didn't come up with that idea or have the opportunity to execute it first. So those are that's kind of our wrap up for 2015. Eric, any final thoughts?
No, I think I think the main things to take away are puppies and blind children.
Yes, I think blind kids will be making a huge resurgence in 2016. So, as always, if you like what you heard, you can subscribe to Thundercast. It's easier than you might think. Just click the button, all right? You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are sold. You can also always find it and listen to it from your desktop at our website, thundertech.com/podcast. If you have topics you want us to hear on the show or questions for us to answer, just shoot us an email. We're always available. Thanks for listening.